Oh, hang on.
Stop. You really cannot pass, you know. Not before someone of higher breeding such as myself. No, no. You'll just have to go back. Or perhaps... go down.
Welcome, listeners of Illusion, to a special episode of Temporal Discussion, the episode-by-episode Nightmare Retrospective podcast. I'm Martin Harder, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Martin Adoni.
Good evening, everyone.
This is an episode of the type that obviously we never wanted to make, but considering the format of our podcast, it was going to happen at some point. It has been reported that the well-loved nightmare actor Clifford Norgate, who played the roles of Hordris the Confuser, the dragons Smirknoff and Owen, the tree troll Oakley, and many others, passed away on January the 4th, 2024. The specifics of his passing haven't been made public, and our hearts go out to his family and friends in this trying time. We feel that it's only right that we put out our own tribute to the great man.
Agreed. Clifford Norgate, I see him as possibly the last of the classically trained actors to become a TV actor, certainly in the 80s. It's actually a bit of a surprise if you look at his television CV, realizing how small it is outside of Nightmare. His most famous TV role was probably on Doctor Who. Well, what else? Providing the dialogue of the Nymon in the unintentionally hilarious Tom Baker story, The Horns of Nymon. But you would think, looking at him and listening to his voice, you'd think he'd appeared in a lot of films and probably had a background role in I, Claudius or something like that. But no, he didn't. It can come as a bit of a shock to see he was only in about something like 9 TV programs.
Yeah.
You do rather feel that the TV industry rather wasted a gem there.
He was quite a prolific stage actor, though.
Oh, yes.
Did quite a few performances with the Royal Shakespeare Company. And his voice will also live on in many audiobooks.
Keep walking forward.
So you've earned a free flight, have you? Oh, come on, sit in the saddle, that's it.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Can you see it?
Okay, and you get
just
them.
Climb in.
Careful, don't fall off the side.
Okay.
What have you done to earn this free ride, then?
Borges have been captured, and I managed to free her.
Did you indeed? Splendid. That certainly has earned you a free ride. What is your name?
Julie.
Splendid. Well, Julie, do please remain seated during the flight. Hold tight. Here we go.
Okay, he's taking off now.
His role in Nightmare was very prolonged for somebody who's supposed to be a theatre actor. It's the joint second longest in the series, in fact, alongside Paul Valentine, and only overshadowed by Hugo Myatt, of course. He became the go-to guy on the cast when they needed someone powerful sounding but also a bit weird. Whereas with John Woodnutt and Mark Knight, you have to put the straight-on portrayal of big badness or sleaziness, respectively. What Clifford Norgate gave us was much more sinister and a bit more surreal. He had that wonderfully crackly, gravelly voice, which I think was an absolute gift in its own right, even before he had acting training. So it combined sharpness with an air of restrained, well-spoken dignity. So, and that was why he was so suitable for playing the sort of grey area characters in the cast. Too aloof to be actually friendly, but with so much self-control that they're not necessarily going to be hostile either. He had the perfect voice for those sorts of characters. Just reflecting on the roles he did, obviously, we have to start with Hordris the Confuser.
I mean, of course.
That basically was 90% of his work on the series. The impression I got recently, well, not that recently, it's probably been over a year ago, but we saw his original scene in season 3 when he makes that appearance as an apparition in the level 2 clue room. The impression I got from then was that he was going to be sort of the second level big bad, especially when Traeger described him on his first appearance in season 3 as a presence, and it's not a pleasant one. So that cordial alliance there was between Traeger and Hordris in later years seems a bit incongruous after that. But it suggests to me that the original idea for Hordris was to be a bit more of a straight villain or a straight monster. But they quickly cottoned on to Clifford Norgate's abilities and thought we need something a little bit more in the on the sort of the boundaries between the good and bad from this guy. And that's And that's how Hall just quickly became redefined.
They needed something more for him to do. They recognised gold and they needed a way to tap it.
They were the bumptious and he was the mine in all two.
Yeah.
Malefact, malefact, malefact.
How dare you? You impertinent little person. No one, repeat, no one is permitted to summon Hordris the Confuser against his wishes. Especially not in level one, where the services of an archmage can scarcely be justified.
The oddness that they sort of tapped into, that oddness, as you say, is the gold. It was probably also what led the crew to give Clifford these secondary voice-only parts, like Oakley the Tree Troll, Owen the Dragon, and later, more particularly, Smirkenorf the Dragon. There was every danger of Oakley with his yokely, soider and pitchfork voice that he could have come across as a bit comical, but because Clifford Norgate had that crackling, gravelly roar, there was a real presence and a real anger about the character.
It was just the right side of caricature, wasn't it?
Precisely.
That gravelly roar worked for him in other means as well, because my first encounter with Clifford was the reruns of Jack and Nori, and in specifically Roald Dahl's The BFG, in which he played many of the giants. And he had that proper kind of nasty, bone cruncher thing going on.
Well, if he didn't do that in that story, what a waste of ability it would have been. That was probably the whole reason why they recruited him, because that's the perfect voice for it.
And had it not been for his brilliant take on Hordris, the character could have probably lasted maybe one season, possibly two.
One of the things I'll notice, you notice when you're watching season three, right at the end, they come up with the prototype for the subquests that I would get handed out to Dungeoneers throughout season four. That would suggest to me that might have been the thing that suddenly they said, right, that's what we'll use him to do, because they realised it worked rather well, and he was the right kind of character to do that and the right kind of actor to play that kind of character, if you forgive my waffle there. he was kind of a fixer at the end of season three and throughout season four. And it emphasised that Hordris was a character with his own agenda, and he had the power and he had the agency to pursue that agenda. And I think that's when Clifford really hit his stride.
But he also imbued the character with a certain amount of charisma. Even when he was being proper nasty and mysterious, you still felt drawn to him.
There was a kind of aura, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It's I know it sounds dreadfully sort of hackneyed and even a little bit sycophantic, but it's true nonetheless. I suppose when you've got a bright red costume like that, you're bound to sort of stand out a little bit, especially on a green screen. But it was true. He had this genuine aura of majesty, where he was able to project this aura of majesty that you meant you found yourself still respecting him. And you also, at the same time, you always got the feeling that Clifford was rather enjoying some of the sillier sorts of things that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Hordris's character in the later stories, in the later seasons, got absolutely nothing out of those really awful, silly and obvious traps that Lord Fear kept catching him in. And did nothing for the dignity of the character at all. But you have to say, you could tell that Mr. Norgate was rather enjoying it.
Hordris, you're at my mercy. What will you give me to let you go back?
One is not in the habit of bargaining under these circumstances.
Yeah, but even so, even when he went from being grey to very much being on the side of the powers that be, you still got an aura from him.
Yeah.
From him. Yeah. That kind of suggested that the Dungeoneer wasn't quite safe with him, maybe.
As long as a Dungeoneer behaves himself around him, I think it was always true that he'd probably be safe around Hordris. Even in the later years, he could be very quick to get angry and outraged, and I think that was where the fret was still clinging on a little bit. As for himself, his actual function within the show, what comes to the fore from a lot of the anecdotes being offered by other cast members from those later years was his experience on the show, and the guidance he was able to give them was often priceless, especially Ione Kennedy, of course, who she had quite a, if you think about it, actually quite a weighty role, having to play the daughter of this glowing ball of pride.
Yes.
And she's got to play the daughter of this really rather silly heir. I actually think we should also give a nods to Ione Kennedy whilst we're doing this, because that's not an easy trick to pull, to sort of blend in with this aura of pride while trying to play a bit of a bubblehead. And there was a good chemistry between her and Clifford Norgay.
You really did get that kind of father daughter vibe.
Yeah, you could buy that she was his daughter, even though the two personalities could hardly be further apart. Giving Hordris of daughter added a dimension of vulnerability to him that was previously unseen, and so it allowed Clifford to do something a bit different with the character. Perhaps sometimes added to the feeling that he was turning into a bit of a softie after being such a rough-edged and unapproachable guy at the beginning. But the fact that Clifford Norgate could do that was, again, a sign of his ability. The job of Dungeon Master was always Hugo's, and rightly so. But if Hugo had ever had to retire from the role, but the series needed to carry on, I think Clifford would have been ideal to replace him. Mm. I cannot think of a higher compliment to be paid to any actor who ever lived than that. If you're worthy of being of taking over a Dungeon Master role from Hugo Myatt, you have got to be one of the best.
So we first heard the news when Drassel announced it on the Nightmare.com forums with the following tribute. Clifford is cherished by Nightmare fans for his portrayal as Hordris the Confuser from Series 3 to 8. Far more than pantomime, he took the character on a journey from would-be dungeoneer killer to intriguingly neutral mage, to doting father, to staunch ally of the powers that be. When you know a character will live forever in your mind, you think the actors will too. And whatever the age, whatever the circumstances, it's a sad loss. I played Hordris for a time on the Nightmare Roleplay Forum. It was a lot of fun, so I trust that Clifford had the same experience in person. Whether standing alone, clashing or collaborating, he was ever magical on screen. Thank you, Clifford, for being such a special part of a special series. And he's right. When you resonate so much with a certain TV show, it can be difficult to be reminded that your childhood heroes are getting older.
Any listener at home who's young and isn't used to seeing some of their favourite actors going, you will adjust to it. You will adjust the reality of time moving on. If there's one guy that you can think of who wouldn't have a problem of looking forward, not back, it would probably be Clifford Norgate himself. One other thing I should mention, his performance as Owen in season 3 deserves some kudos as well, because it was completely removed from every other thing he did in Nightmare. He was really playing a really rather kindly, gentle, wizened old yokel, not yokel, hermit, I think is probably the best word for that.
Yeah, it's a very underappreciated performance.
Yeah, we'd probably appreciate it more if there'd been more appearances from him, but not many teams got into level 3 that year. That rather lovely soft Welsh accent that he produced for it.
Where am I?
He's standing on the ledge. By the side of the ledge, there's something like the mouth of a dragon, and you can see its eyes. It's awake. There's an exit to your left.
Oh, hello. Hello. Are you going to talk to me then? Yes. It's not often that I get the opportunity to talk to a human. I suppose you don't think it's me that's talking, do you? I suppose you don't think a dragon can talk. Well, I can see. And what's more, I can do it without all that silly face flapping you humans going for. Telepathic, us dragons. Superior, see? You try sending me your thoughts and see how far you get. I know your name. It's Martin.
Yep.
Yeah. My name's Owen. But you thought it would be something really dragonish, didn't you?
No.
Oh, it means noble. You humans have forgotten the meaning of names.
I think I remember reading somewhere that he much preferred stage acting to TV or film. And that's why he enjoyed Nightmare, because Nightmare was done live, or as live. It gave him a chance to kind of think on his feet.
Yeah, there you are then. So that probably is, it probably was his own choice then. So maybe he got a lot of offers and he simply turned them down. That actually does, that does seem more likely on reflection. Just thinking about what he was capable of, it would be very, very weird if he wasn't getting a lot of offers. So obviously he just didn't really want to do anything. And he chose Nightmare precisely because it was so removed from so much else on TV at the time.
We've been asked to read a few statements from prominent members of the Nightmare community. Jason Carl, Series 2 winning Dungeoneer, had this to say. In memory of Clifford Norgate, it is with deep sorrow that we commemorate the life and legacy of Clifford Norgate, an actor of remarkable talent and grace, best known for his portrayal as the enigmatic Hordris in the beloved television show Nightmare. Clifford's portrayal of Hordris captivated audiences with its depth, wit, and a touch of mystique. He brought to life a character that was not just a figure in a fantasy world, but a symbol of wisdom, power, and complexity. His performance was not merely acting, it was a vivid creation that became a cornerstone of the show's enduring appeal. Clifford's departure leaves a void in the hearts of fans, friends, and family, yet his legacy endures in the memories he's left behind and the characters he's created. His work on Nightmare and beyond will continue to inspire and entertain, a testament to his talent and passion. As we bid farewell to Clifford Norgate, we celebrate his life, cherish his contributions, and hold dear the memories he gifted us. His spirit will forever linger in the halls of Nightmare, in the hearts of those he touched, and the annals of television history. Rest in peace, Clifford Norgate. Your legacy will live on, as magical and profound as the character you so brilliantly portrayed.
Can't argue with that. I'm moving that one.
Paul McIntosh, former editor of the iShield fanzine, left the following comment on our Patreon. So many Nightmare actors came and went, but he well and truly earned the right to become part of the fabric of the show. Oakley was great. Dreadnought was, well, Dreadnought. Owen and Smirknoff were lovely, but obviously all the great memories are of Hordris. There was the Traeguard line about Hordris being a distinct shade of grey. While the character clearly softened and became part of the powers that be in later years, I always felt it was striking how Hordris always had that aura of someone to be wary of. That's genuine acting skill, to be able to present as evil with the potential to be good, or indeed to present as one of the good guys who could quite easily be deeply offended and angered with one false move. He always walked that line perfectly.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'm not sure later on it was quite as balanced, but I don't think that was particularly because of Clifford. I think that was just the way it was being written. It was sort of driving Hordris further and further towards the good guys, but there was still an element of menace about him at all times.
It was always there.
Yeah, a hint of unpredictability, which he managed to retain. It would have been very easy for some actors in that position just to not bother with it anymore and just go completely with it the way it was written. But I do think I think Clifford just dug the heels in a bit there to make sure that you're never completely confident that the Dungeoneer is going to be okay.
And I'd forgotten that he did Dreadnought as well.
Yeah, I'd actually overlooked that.
Series 3 Dungeoneer Scott Evans emailed us the following statement. We both joined the dungeon together. I appeared late enough in the series to see his publicity stills on the studio walls. Although I never encountered him in my quest or got to see him on set, he was always one of my favourite characters, and I loved the evolution of the character. He did some real heavy lifting as the series progressed, and unless I'm mistaken, goes down in history as the longest running dungeon character. A real shame I never got to meet him in person. Series 4 Dungeoneers was spoiled indeed, as nearly every quest of the greater game from then on went through him in some way. R.I.P. Clifford Norgate, and thanks for all the memories. I mean, we dunk on Series 4 a lot, but a lot of the best stuff in Series 4 is Clifford Norgate.
Hordris definitely gets some good development in Season 4.
Regular podcast guest Jake Collins recorded his thoughts for us.
Clifford Norgate was, is, and always will be a true legend of Nightmare. Not simply because of the fact that he was the only credited Nightmare actor apart from Hugo Myatt to play the same character in at least 6 different series of Nightmare. but mainly because he always brought such an arresting presence to any scene he participated in, particularly as Hordrus, but also as the fairly long-anticipated voice of Smirkenorf, and the probably not at all anticipated, but very significantly placed voice of Owen towards the end of Series 3, and indeed the doom-laden and one-time fatal tones of Dreadnought in Series 6. The way Clifford's performance as Hordrus adapted and evolved as the show did so from Series 3 to 8 really is something very special, always incorporating such diverse elements as gravitas, pomposity, and indeed genuinely funny comedy when appropriate. But I think my very favourite role of Clifford's really is that of Oakley the Tree Troll, whose mouth and voice he provided so wonderfully throughout Series 4 and once in Series 5, and Clifford Norgate's skill at bringing the very concept of a tree troll to life is always something wonderful to behold. How would a tree troll react to and interact with Dungeoneers, Goblins, or Barbarian Guards? Clifford always knew and demonstrated Oakley's feelings towards those people to us in no uncertain terms. My particular favourite delivery of Oakley's comes from the contempt and finality that Clifford injected into the exclamation, "Falsehood," like no one else ever could have.
And lastly, but by no means least, we have a statement from Iona Kennedy. Iona appeared in Nightmare in the roles of Greystag, Melda May, and most importantly, as Hordrus's daughter, Sidris. I was cast as Clifford's daughter, Sidris, in Series 6, and he was already established as the magician Hordrus. He was such a wonderfully supportive actor who really helped me understand how to play the part of his daughter and how to act with the Dungeoneers and Blue Screen. He warned me that they can say all sorts of things and you just have to think on your feet. He was so welcoming, and I met his real-life daughter, whom he was bringing up by himself, as his wife and her mother had been tragically killed in a terrible car accident during the first season he played Hordrus. He was a fantastic real-life father. I felt so lucky to act with him, and I was thrilled that I could carry on working with him in Seasons 7 and 8. He was very paternal and kind to me, and I shall never forget him. He was an amazingly kind and selfless actor, and I shall always treasure those summers when we filmed Nightmare together. Rest in peace, Hordrus, from your loving, if somewhat confused daughter, Sidris. From Iona Kennedy, you will be sorely missed.
You can feel a real friendship there, and it's beautifully reflected in those words. One little poignant final bit of information, which shows that even at this stage, the Confuser still has the power to startle us. I doubt it was deliberate, but there is a fitting irony regarding Clifford's final resting place. His funeral was held at a church on Stoke Lane in Poringland, Norwich, on the 25th of January. The church is known, somewhat eerily, as Dunstan's Church. Dunstan, of course, being the name of the last winning Dungeoneer. A nightmare. Hordrus, I don't know how you do it.
I think the last thing left to say really is rest in peace, Clifford. Hordrus may have been decidedly grey, but you added a dash of colour to our world.